I'm Matt, if you don't know me, and welcome to Capital Vineyard. I'm here to talk today about Easter and about Good Friday in particular, and it's one of my favourite topics to speak on. It's just awesome. It's such a good Friday. And it's funny, though, when you think about it, because what we're actually celebrating is the murder and torture and murder of an innocent man, which happened about 2,000 years ago. So it seems strange to call it a good day. Certainly when it happened, Jesus' enemies celebrated it, but they didn't call it a good day. His followers called it Good Friday and said it was a good day. And that's what we want to look at today, is why is it a good day? And really, I want to unpack this by looking at love. And I'll come back to the snake-crushing king. So I think one of the things that I see a lot in the world today is that the way we talk about love and the way we treat love has really, degraded its value and sort of intrinsically. You know, I think about there's this thing that happened. So Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin were married, and a couple of years ago, they put out this press release about how they were consciously uncoupling, which makes them sound like a train, right? And so we're gonna uncouple the dining car from the sleeping car. And it's just, and there's this, and if you look online and you read in the paper, in the news, there's all this, these people got married and now they're going to get divorced 2 years later or whatever. And there's this sense in which romantic love has become equated with sex, and and it's devalued both of those things, and just all through the media, there's this sense that love is this disposable thing, and in our culture, and you know, I look at that, and it's just wrong. Something seems wrong about that, and we hunger for love. It's just our human nature. We hunger for love. We long for it. And we crave the stories of romance and love. I mean, romantic comedies, it might seem trite to talk about them, but they always end with love winning the day. It seems that the more disposable love gets, the more we crave it and the more we hunger for it. And the more we, as people, go around looking for ways to satisfy that hunger. And people, and drugs, and work, and all sorts of things. People try and meet this need they have in their hearts for this love, this completeness. And it's not hard to find, it's funny enough, talking about completeness, it's not hard to find quotes on the internet about, oh, love completes you and all that kind of stuff. We hunger for this completion on some level. We instinctively understand that only love can provide this kind of completion. And yet at the same time, we're told, look out for number one. Protect ourselves. You've got to protect yourself. You know, you ensure you need to be getting something out of the relationship. If you're not getting anything out of it, that's not worth it. You know, there are numerous TV shows and that where there are people who are struggling in their relationship, and one of the questions they get asked by their friends is, well, what are you getting out of the relationship? And I think the quote here on the slide is telling. I hate the feeling that we're drifting away from each other and there's nothing and I can't do anything about it. It's that sense in which it's disposable. We just drift away and it's gone. And we say to people, oh, there's plenty more fish in the sea. Although I like that the fish in the sea there look like they're sharks. So it's deeply rooted in our culture, this hunger for love. But there's a paradox, because it's also deeply rooted in our culture that love is just this disposable quality that's not really that important. Is there more to love than that? Yes, absolutely, Susan, there is. The Bible talks about love, and in particular in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, he has this to say about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious. Love does not brag. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-serving. It is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, isn't that the kind of love that we hunger for? Isn't that the kind of love that really feels like it might complete us? That's the love that we're looking for. How do we get that love? Where does it come from? This you hear this. People have this quoted at their weddings, and it's cool. But it speaks of love being more than what you get out of a relationship. In fact, there's nothing in there that says love is what you get out of it. It just doesn't say that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This is real love. And what do bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, and enduring all things have in common? They have in common sacrifice. The reality is that real love is costly. They are sacrificial. Real love means sacrifice. Real love means giving yourself to the other person even when it hurts, especially when it hurts. I'm not condoning abuse. That's not my point, because real love is mutual. It is both partners sacrificing, not just one. Real love is giving ourselves to another and them giving themselves to us completely, warts and all. It's funny, the word sacrifice comes from the Latin word to sacer, which, not sucker, sacer, which means to make holy. To sacrifice something is to give it over to holiness. In some religions, people make sacrifices to God so that they can become holy. The sacrificer can become holy for a time. And holy in this sense means pure. This was the case with ancient Jewish religion. Sacrifices were required to make people holy before God. And if they were holy before God, then they could, in some sense, receive love. The kind of love that really does complete. But the sacrifices were never, to sacrifice something, it never completed. It was never enough. The sacrifices were never enough to blot out the impurity, the snake wrapped around our hearts. People would have to come and sacrifice again and again and again, year after year after year. Something else was needed. A once and for all sacrifice. A snake crusher. And so, we have all these depictions of love that we get, romantic love or whatever, and love hearts, and Valentine's Day was a little while ago, and you have roses and all that kind of stuff. And they're all fine, they're all images of love. But real love, the most real love in the universe, looks like that. That's an act of love beyond anything. That's a love that burns so brightly that it outshines all the stars in the galaxy. When I was worshipping, I just had this, it's hard to describe, this picture of, love escaping a black hole. Love burning brighter than everything in the galaxy. As we saw in the video, a man came 2,000 years ago, a carpenter from Galilee, a rabbi in ancient Israel, came to fulfill the prophecies and the promise. And he was brutally tortured. For crimes he didn't commit. In a mock court, he was tortured. He had a crown made of thorns pushed onto his head, which pierced his skin. His clothes were torn from him. He was whipped 40 times. As someone who grows a beard every now and then, he says that he had parts of his beard torn from his face, which just makes me want to cry. He was forced to carry the instrument of his torture to the place where they were going to nail him to it. And then massive nails were driven into his hand and feet, and he was lifted up onto a cross. And there to die a slow and agonizing death. His enemies rejoiced at this point. And little did they know what was coming. Once he was there, he would have had this awful thing, right? So you're hanging like this, and all the fluids in your body start to pull in your torso, and it gives you this sense that you're suffocating, and because it puts pressure on your lungs. And so then the only way to get to deal with that is to try and push yourself up so you can stand up straight. But of course, all he's got to push against are the nails. It's just horrific, excruciating pain. As a little aside, the word excruciating comes from this form of torture. From Latin excruciat, which means tormented, from the verb excruciare, based on the word in the middle there, crux, which is cross. And I want to be really clear here. He was innocent. He had lived a life without sin. Jesus was holy man and holy God, and he had lived his life without that snake wrapped around his heart. He had done nothing wrong. And he knew that that was going to happen. And yet he went to it willingly. He went through it willingly. Why? Because he was the snake crusher. He came to crush the snake. That is the act of him taking our wounds upon himself. He took all the evil, all the sin, all the impurity upon himself so that by his sacrifice, through that great love, we could be freed from that snake. We could be freed from sin. We all have that snake wrapped around our hearts. And he can turn it to dust. He turns it to dust. He gives us new life. We can be free to be friends with God again, as he made us to be free. In the garden, we were free. And we embraced the snake and were in chains. At the same time that Jesus was crucified, two other men were crucified with him. Three criminals in total. Not that Jesus was a criminal, but he was tried as one, right? So three criminals crucified. And Luke writes a history of Jesus, and in that book, he talks about this. So in Luke 23, it says, one of the criminals who was hanging there railed at him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other one rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we, rightly so." It's funny, when I talk through this, I sort of want to wave my hands around because I like talking like that, but then I keep thinking the guy was nailed up like this and he couldn't have. Sorry, I shouldn't make fun of it, but I'm resisting the urge to wave my arms around. Anyway, we rightly so, for we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't say it to the other guy, did he? There's two responses. There's only two responses. You can look on that act of love and embrace it or reject it. In light of it, what will you do? Do you want to know that love that completes you, that perfect love, that love that endures all things, that bears all things, that hopes all things, that's patient, that's kind, or don't you? That's the question. That's the question of Easter. There is no life in between here. Jesus, knowing that he would make the ultimate loving sacrifice for each of us so that we could receive God's love, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Because his is the only sacrifice that counts for all sin at all times forever. And you know, it's not like it just counted back then, 2,000 years ago. That sacrifice rolls through history. It counts for us now. It counts for whatever you might have done. It counts for whatever you might do. In some sense, all of life boils down to this choice. In light of Jesus' sacrifice, what will you do? Will you be like the first criminal and let the snake crush you? Or will you be like the second criminal and let Jesus crush the snake. I want to be really clear, you can't crush the snake. If people could have found their way out of this problem, they would have done, but they can't. We are tainted by it. As it said in the video, David, they thought he might be the snake crusher, but the snake was in him. How will you respond? So I just want to close with prayer. I think one of the wonderful things that we can do is we can go to God and ask him for help. We can go to God and ask for that love, to receive that love. We can go to God and we can ask him to deal with the snake that's wrapped around our heart. And the good thing is that he does. And he comes and he meets us. So if you could please stand. Maybe Kirk, if you could put some music on. If you have already responded to Jesus' sacrificial love in your life, and you're already a follower of Jesus, I invite you to engage with it again. Easter is a wonderful time to refresh the wonder of the gospel, the wonder of what he's done for you, and to acknowledge again what he's done for you and return to him your love and your life. If you're here and you haven't responded to that, then you have a choice, and it's a choice only you can make. It's the most important choice you can make in your life. You can choose to accept that Jesus lived and died for you because he loves you, because he wants you to receive that love that completes you, that burning sun that's brighter than the universe. Or you can choose to ignore it and make your own way. So I'm going to pray a simple prayer and then we'll close. And if you would like to pray after me, you can. Otherwise, you can pray quietly yourself or not pray if that's what suits you. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I trust you and I follow you as my Lord and Saviour. In your name, Jesus. If you would like to talk to anyone or you would like to have prayer, pray with someone for anything that we've talked about or anything else, the wonderful thing about the kingdom that Jesus brings, that he preached, is that there's wholeness in that kingdom. That means healing, physical and emotional. It means knowledge, prophecy. So if you hunger for more of God's love, you want to hear more from him, then please feel free to come and we'll be happy to pray with you. If you'd like prayer, please feel free to come. If you would like hot crust buns, they're up the back. That concludes our Good Friday service. So I wish you all a happy, happy Easter. And I just pray that God would ignite the wonder of the sacrifice of his son Jesus in your heart and turn and open your eyes to it anew. In Jesus' name, amen.